This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Today on CityCast Chicago. Earlier this year, CTA President Dorval Carter told the city council that train schedules would be restored to pre-pandemic levels by the end of this year. Unfortunately, according to the latest train schedules that went into effect over the weekend, we're still waiting to see if he can keep that promise. So while we wait, producer Michelle Navarro hit the streets to find out what transit riders most want, and we talk about the unwritten rules of the CTA. It's Thursday, April 11th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is What Chicago's Talking About. Morning, Michelle. Welcome back to the mic, my friend.
Good morning, Jacoby. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Before we start hearing some of those voices, Michelle, how often do you take public transit? You and I don't got cars. We ain't out here driving all the time. So how often are you on CTA?
Yeah, I take CTA pretty often. I mean, you know, we work from home, so I don't commute to work, but I take it almost every day to go to the gym. And so I be hopping on the Orange Line for that. And I guess like when I'm going to like outside of the neighborhood, I can hop on the Damon bus and that'll take me, you know, up there somewhere. So I would say like at least maybe like 5 times a week for sure. What about you?
More times than not, I was usually doing like a combination of like a metro to downtown and then having to hop on the train, because a lot of the places I perform are maybe, you know, I've had to go all the way up to Space and Evanston, all the way out to Fitzgerald's and Berwyn. And luckily the train will get you there. But over the last couple of weeks since I moved, man, just this week, I've been on the Green Line, I've been on the Red Line, I've been on the Blue Line. Michelle, of all the CTA stops that are available, where did you go to talk to people?
Yeah, I went to my local station, which is 35th and Archer on the Orange Line. I tried to go, so it was a Friday, okay. And I tried to go kind of around rush hour. Mm-hmm. So it was a mix of like people coming, you know, coming back from work or going to work probably too. And then also a lot of teenagers like coming back from school.
Michelle, as you talk to these different people, what was the biggest thing that they said they wanted from CTA?
I mean, I think listeners can probably guess this. And the number one thing that people would mention was for trains and buses to run on time.
Yep.
We actually just got off a bus that was 30 minutes behind. So yeah, we were waiting for a while.
Because there's like, especially this bus is 62nd, it takes like 30 minutes sometimes. So it takes forever. I feel like if maybe they have more drivers, you know, be on time more. There is like times where you're waiting on the train and it just disappears out of nowhere and it doesn't show up.
Sometimes the buses are delayed 30, 40 minutes at a time, you know. I've been taking public transportation my entire life, and I would say the timing of some of these schedules for buses and trains is horrible.
I mean, this is the number one thing that not only came up from the people you were talking to, it's one of the number one things that come up when criticism around CTA President Dorval Carter comes up: ghost buses and trains and the unreliability of the schedule. And so according to CTA officials, that's the thing they're trying to work on. Not only hiring more people to get back to pre-pandemic levels, but they're hoping that will lead them to be able to run the buses and the trains more frequently. One person on Twitter told us, I would love to be able to use the CTA often enough to care how people hold their backpacks again, which is to say there are layers to people's concerns, people's criticisms, but people at the top of their list is, I'm using this for the convenience, and it running on time would be the thing that helps me the most.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you could see, you know, you hear so much about people that return to driving when they were so used to taking their daily commute to work or to school or whatever it may be.
When I think back to like the train service, even the bus service, you know, 2016 through about 2019, like there are some complaints that people have today that I probably still would have had then in terms of how people use the train car. Are people smoking on the train car? A lot, things like that, that, you know, different people talk about. None of that feels much different to me. The one thing that definitely feels different is how often I'm forced to wait between trains, right? And I don't know, I don't want to have rose-tinted glasses here, but prior to the pandemic, and I understand all the ways that wrecked our public transit infrastructure, I just don't feel like ghost trains and buses was at the top of mind.
No, definitely. Like, I remember being on the Orange Line growing up, and I feel like there was a train, and especially during rush hour, every 7 minutes. Like, I'm imagining the little screen on the platform. And I remember, like, if I just missed a train, I'd be like, okay, well, the next one's coming in 7 to 8 minutes. That's not bad at all.
Right. And the screen was way more accurate. When you could look at it and you could pretty much guess, or you were pretty assured that that was the schedule, right? Sometimes within 1 to 2 minutes, you might hear the announcement that something was delayed on the track.
Right.
But you could trust that those electronic schedules were a little more accurate.
And it's funny now, because I think about the few times that, like, compared to now, the few times that it used to be delayed, where, like, there's maintenance and the train randomly stops. And I think about how mad that would make me feel. And now I'm just like, oh, you don't know how it ends up becoming. Like, you should have just been grateful for that. But yeah, it's just funny to think about how rare that kind of was in comparison to now. There was no ghost trains. Like, that was not a real, like, no. It was coming. It might come a little late because something happened, but, like, it's coming, you know, it's not going to just magically disappear off the app or wherever you're checking where it is.
Yeah. I did not see that term used before the pandemic. That is something that post 2020, 2021, you started seeing it in more and more headlines. Timeliness is at the top of people's concerns. But as people start to get into those pet peeves, right, those little things that annoy them when they're riding a train or the bus, Michelle, what did folks at the Orange Line say? What were their biggest pet peeves?
Yeah, there was definitely a mix, but a lot of them kind of similar to what we were talking about, ones that you would kind of expect. And I think all people who ride public transportation feel this similar way. This is what Jose said.
Not getting out of the way and, like, with their headphones on, you know, not paying attention to people when they, you know, trying to get out on their stop.
It's funny because when I was, like, a shitty high schooler, this was definitely me. Like, I had my music blasting. I was in there singing. Like, all the older people who, like, well, in my mind back then, the older people, right, who are, like, coming off and getting off work all grumpy, like, excuse me. And I'll just be like, man, whatever. But now that I'm older.
Now you grumpy off work trying to get to the gym, G.
Exactly. Now I'm just like, turn that down. You're going to mess up your hearing. And you need to, like, be aware when you're on the train.
Yeah, I am someone who can drift into my headphones and my phone. I try to get, like, if I'm standing, for example, get into a little corner. But the one thing it often gets me on Metro 2 is, right, from platform to platform, the train doors might open on this side, they might open on the other side, and they announce it on the train, right? We talk to the voice of CTA. That's one of the things he has to record when he comes into Chicago, is that the trains will open on this side, the train doors will open on that side. And sometimes I miss that. And so if I'm in my little corner and it's switched, I'm now that person who's sort of stuck in their headphones as people are trying to navigate that crunch between getting on and getting off. What were some other pet peeves you heard while you were out there?
Yeah, so this is something that Jocelyn said.
Sometimes when I'm on the bus, like, people will, like, block out the other seat, so they'll sit on the outer seat so no one gets the other one, and that's one of my pet peeves, because people could sit and they choose to be greedy.
She's talking about those couple seats where it's two seats, and so the person gonna sit closer to the aisle and maybe put their backpack on the inside. Damn, I feel like I'm being... They coming for me in this one. I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I have a very big backpack on, right? And I don't want it in my lap. I try not to take up the seat with the other backpack. But no, sometimes I do sit on that outside one. Maybe not when it's packed, but as it starts to get more crowded, I don't always adjust immediately. And so that is something that I could work on.
If it's empty, like, you get dibs. Like, you could do whatever you want. Well, not anything you want, but you know what I mean?
Right. But as it starts to get crowded, you should start making better choices.
I believe, like, it's a rule, like, the first person to get on and there's no more seats, you have an obligation to move your back, even if they don't sit there.
Even if they don't sit. That's a good point. I try to be that person. But again, with them headphones going, if I'm looking down, not paying attention. Now, clearly one of the things I'm getting from this conversation, even if someone hasn't said it, is just self-awareness, right? I think one of people's biggest pet peeves are folks who get on the train and forget that the first part of that transit is public. At no point are you ever just an individual on a train. Even if you are on there with very few people, you're always in community with the people on the train and should be moving accordingly. And that's something that, yeah, I can tend to like isolate myself on a train, put my head down. I don't want to stare at nobody. I don't want to look at nobody. And because of that, I'm missing some social cues to do better. And so I'm glad people are calling me out without me having to be there to hear it. We also have some people that reached out to us via text, which is always available to you. 773-780-0246. Courtney from Albany Park texted us and said, when people don't go to the back of the bus or middle of the train cars during rush hour, also, when they do that and still have their backpacks on, taking off your backpack frees up so much more space. All right, Courtney, I want to take this in piecemeal. And I'm going to start at the back end. Yes. Like, especially me. I typically have a big backpack on. And so I'm bringing it in front of you. Put it on your lap if you're sitting down. I know we don't necessarily want to put our bags on the floor of the train, but maybe just like setting it on your feet, on your toes, and like squeezed between your calf muscles might be helpful. But I will say at the top, when people don't go to the back of the bus or the middle of the train, I get the middle. And I also remember being a kid and immediately rushing to the back of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna be honest with you, dog. If I get on the bus and there's seats open in the front as more people come on, I'm not going all the way to the back. It's not happening. And I'm just standing on Rosa Parks principle. I'm just not doing it. And I know it's not the same, and I probably shouldn't even invoke that. But like, just the idea that I should just be moving to the back as people come on, I don't even like that. I don't even like what it implies.
And also well with your spirit.
But again, that comes back to self-awareness. When people don't make attempts to either move closer to the wall, give up a seat that your bag is on. Even like, for example, when people are trying to get on and off the train, I get people who stand by the door, but you got to move your body. You got to try to. I'm the person, for example, I like to stand by the door. I get off the train, let the people come off, let the people get on, and then I go back right back to my spot.
Exactly.
But if you just stand there on the bus or the train, I do see how that's a complete inconvenience to people. We also had some people reach out to us on Twitter. Michelle, what did some folks have to say?
So a couple people said, you know, when there are empty seats and but people stand anyway while the bus or train is getting full, in that case, it's actually ruder not to sit down.
I feel you, G. I hear you. I'm a stander. I will sit down at sometimes, but if I'm not going that far, I'm not sitting down. So I hear you on that. It is. And so in that point, I'm just going to move out the way. Oh, you have the seat. You take the seat.
I think if you're just on for a couple spots, you're excused of this, you know, like you can definitely just like stand. But if you're going to be on there for a minute, it's like park it, get out the way and let other people flow throughout the cart gracefully.
But how do you like saying that now? Right, is interesting because it now is 2024. But like a few years ago, you wouldn't have just been like, hey, go park it next to somebody you don't know. And so much of our behavior on the train has also been altered by the pandemic. Do you ever get on the train now when it's crowded and still just think to yourself, maybe I should get a mask?
Actually, yeah.
Maybe I should move around. Man, there ain't no more signs nowhere that tell people to do anything. Like, hasn't that impacted how close you are willing to be to people depending on how many folks are on the train? Obviously you can't avoid it, but like I try to keep my distance still. I'm still a little.
Me too. I think, I mean, we're all very changed from all that has happened. And so I feel like when it's a packed bus, I try to stay away. I try to kind of chill out on the side.
Some folks on Twitter had some of the obvious like complaints that people give. For example, speakerphone phone calls. Gee, this is wild to me. I already don't like folks who don't adjust their voice in enclosed spaces. Like, you should do the fake whisper thing. Hey, I'm on the train right now. But folks who full-throated just keep the conversation going, already annoying. But if not only you are loud, but you've put the person on the other side on speakerphone, I don't know. There's a certain level of what's the matter? What were you like? Where in your mind did this make sense to you to just like that feels performative to me at this point. You want people to know what's happening.
Yeah. Like I agree with that, sure.
You be on speaker?
But as a nosy person.
Hey, so you want to hear it. Okay, you just nasty. That's just
there's sometimes where people are on the phone and they're going in and I'll think like, kind of wish I knew what the other person was saying. And so when people.
I'm forced to be on one part of this. Might as well have full context.
I might as well get the whole context. Like, I'm going to know who's in the wrong, who's in the right, who did what, who said what. And so when people, I kind of do appreciate, like, if the conversation is juicy enough and they on speaker, I'm like, oh, great. I'm turning down my headphones and I'm tuning in for a little bit. I'm tuning in.
A few other ones people said, which I also understood, garbage. Throwing your garbage just on the train. I just think that's rude regardless. You know, platforms have receptacles. I understand if you're like eating on the train, but like maybe have a plastic bag with you, you know, kind of like
just hold on to it.
Exactly. Smoking. That's one of my balances on CTA. It's like, if there is something that is annoying me, is there something I can do? Right. I could do the whole, oh, you shouldn't be. These are the rules. What are you doing?
Like, what? What are you doing?
Relax, bro. Is this something I can change? I can get off the cart and go to a next one, even if the other one was more crowded.
Right.
Or is this something that I can like sit with and bear? So like smoking, if it is too much, I will get off the cart and move. If somebody's playing music loud, that's not really worth me moving.
Yeah,
I get it.
Especially if it hits, like if it's good music.
Exactly. If it's good, there are some things that I'm willing to swallow willing to swallow a little bit more than other people. We also heard from some other folks. Adele Marie B, who is the listener who inspired this episode and mentioned it in an email, said, don't leave your belongings on one of the few empty seats on a busy train. We talked about that a little bit earlier. But Adele went further and said, I will be the person to ask you to move it, which I appreciate because I'm not that person. I'm not going to ask you to move your belongings.
I am.
To sit down. You are. I'm trying to avoid people as much as possible.
So if it's packed and I just see you super comfortable just having a bag, I'm not gonna be like rude about, maybe I'll be rude about, I don't know, but I'll just kind of walk up in front of the seat and just like point and just be like,
just kind of give the stare,
can I sit there? And then like most times I've never had a person be like no, they'll just be like, oh, and they'll move in, I'll sit down. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably just pull that, to be honest.
No, I've done the silent walk up to a bag seat and they move it. I've definitely done that, yeah. But I'm not going to ask. I'll silently approach, hoping that you get the hint. Now, this wasn't all criticisms and complaints and pet peeves. You also took some time to ask people what would be their dream for CTA. And I know a lot of people was just like, just for it to run on time. But there were some people who gave some really cool potential options on ways that they think the CTA could be improved for the rest of us. What were some of the things you heard?
Yeah, so when I was out in the street, I mean, I think one of the things that was a kind of an original idea, but when I think about it, I'm like, it's not too outlandish, is having outlets. I think I'm someone who, like, I have a big, like, fear of my, even though I know how to get around the CTA at this point and I don't need my phone, I'm just like, you know, if an emergency or someone wants to hit me up, like, I hate being in public with a dead phone. And so the mm-hmm. idea that I can, you know, charge my phone up on the way to or from, you know, somewhere I'm going to, just brings me a lot of joy. So I think that's a really simple thing. But someone on Twitter said, and this kind of goes back to the pet peeve that people have of people smoking, it would be having a smoking only cart. And mm-hmm. I don't know, that's kind of a great idea.
I do think that's a great idea in theory. I do wonder how it would be executed. I also wonder how are you going to put the signage up for that? This is the smoking cart. You can only smoke cigarettes in here. And if there's a smoking only cart, are people then they're just like, you know what? I'm going to drink on that boy, if you don't mind. Right. And so I am for a open air cart that people can go in there and do the smoke their cigarettes, smoke their vape, do their thing. I just wonder how do you do that in a way that is manageable? But again, that's not for me to decide. I just think the idea is great. And so CTA, figure it out. Smoking only carts. Some people even talked about their perfect train line. Someone said a train line that runs down Kedzie, connecting the blue, red, and orange lines. I've always wanted a train that ran east from west on like 87th Street. that can get me from, you know, as far as 87th and Cicero all the way down to, you know, South Chicago. Just moving east west in this city is really difficult on the trains. Obviously, we want trains that go further into the South Side in general. And so the Red Line extension, the project that's been hinted at for 50 plus years, I'm hoping that in the next decade will come to fruition. But I hope down the road we get a little bit more creative about maybe repurposing some east west lines.
Having a train line, like we can call it like the magenta line or the periwinkle, like we could give it a cool color name. And I think it would be great. And it could like connect to the red, it could connect to Howard, and it could connect to Dan Rot, to like 95th Dan Ryan. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't that sound amazing?
That sounds like billions of dollars.
It does, but why not dream?
Why can't
you know?
We dream? Why can't we dream? And then one people said, public transit being free. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that there's a fiscal cliff that our transit agencies are having to deal with. But again, no. I mean, it is my problem. It is my problem, our problem as Chicagoans. But I don't feel like that's my problem. And I feel like during the pandemic, those discounted fares on CTA, on Metra, helped a lot of people to get back on the train, helped a lot of people to stay on the train. And now with some of these updates, things, you know, the price has gone up. And so, you know, something that is for the entire city, being free to the entire city, and what that could do for Chicagoans, I think is something we should be trying to figure out.
There's so much more we can say. Thank you to everyone on Twitter or X or whatever for sending in their pet peeves, their unwritten rules, and their CTA dreams, along with our listeners who sent us emails and text messages. I also want to thank the people that took the time to talk to me at the 35th and Archer Orange Line station. Thank you to Andre Taylor, Amanda B, Jose, and Jocelyn.
I want to give a huge thank you to our producer, Michelle Navarro. Thank you for going out there at the 35th and Archer stop, my friend.
Thank you.
Before we let you go, a reminder, this was yet another episode inspired by an email we got from a listener. Seriously, if you've got episode ideas, we want to hear them. You can send us a text or leave us a voicemail at 773-780-0246. That's 773-780-0246, or you can email us chicago@citycast.fm. leave your name, your neighborhood, and your idea, and we might go on and turn it into an episode. Of course, I got some good news for you. Market Box Chicago turns 4 this week. If you're not familiar, Market Box is a mutual aid organization that was started at the beginning of the pandemic that sources fresh produce from Midwest farms and delivers it to over 400 Chicagoans a month. Tonight, they're hosting a celebration at Morris Community Brewing in McKinley Park. They're gonna have karaoke, a silent auction for fundraising, and food from Taco Sublime. All the info you need is available via a link in the show notes. As always, we appreciate you for listening and reading. We're going to be back bright and early tomorrow talking about some crucial stories from the week. We'll talk to you then. Peace.